On today's episode of the Yaesu the Radio Show podcast, we're going to be finishing up our mini-series talking about the DR2X and some of the features of it, and today we're going to be diving into the subject of controlling it via DTMF commands or controlling it via Yaesu System Fusion telecommands. That's for today's episode, Monday, January 29th, on the Yaesu the Radio Show podcast. And welcome, everybody, to the Yaesu the Radio Show podcast. I'm your host, John Crook. Thank you for tuning in and tuning into this last episode of this, kind of like the mini-series we've been talking about, the DR2X and some of the great things that we talked about. So a couple past episodes, we kind of talked about the history of the DR2X. The podcast after that, we talked about like some of the features and concepts of the dual receiver on the back of it, those kind of things like that. Just the very last episode before this one, we talked about the 10-pin mini DIN and the D-sub-15 connector to be able to connect it to repeater controllers or All-Star or IRLP, Echolink, all that fun stuff. But today, we are going to be diving into the aspects of finally, how do we control our DR2X? One of the greatest things about the DR2X is that it does allow the control of it, and control via DTMF commands and control via Fusion telecommands. But before we get into that, people are always asking, John, where can we order a repeater? Where can we get a repeater? Well, guess what? You can always get a repeater through your authorized Yaesu dealer in the areas that are allowed to sell repeaters. Unfortunately, there are some areas of the world that do not allow DR2X repeaters to be sold or put on the air. Hey, sorry, that's the way it is. But areas that do, you can always order the repeater through them. But if you live in the North America market, where we're based out of here for Yaesu USA and where our podcasts originate from, you can go ahead and get it part of our Yaesu DR2X program. That's correct, Yaesu DR2X program on there. What you can go ahead and do is you can get a DR2X for $700 brand new, or a DR2X with the LAN unit in it for $900. That's $200 more only to have true digital IP linking. And you know what? The DR2X is not just a simple VHF UHF repeater. It is a combined VHF or UHF repeater. It can do unidirectional crossband. It has a lot of features on there. And when you look at the price of what a repeater is these days, to have one that can run on DC power, AC power, be portable, be used on a desktop for special events, and have a microphone connect into it, all the other things we've talked about, you know, $700 or $900 as part of that program price is pretty inexpensive. While other repeater programs or other specials from other places discount the repeater really low and stuff like that, you're really getting very limited as only certain frequency bands or certain power outputs. No, get a dual band capable repeater that doesn't require special firmware or program stuff to program it, get it up and running. It's all from the front faceplate and comes with 3-year warranty. That's right. All of our repeaters come with a 3-year warranty. If you want to take advantage of our DR2X repeater program special going to March 31st right now of 2024, as of the airing of this podcast, go to our Yaesu System Fusion website. That's right. Systemfusion.yaesu.com. That's systemfusion, all one word, .yaesu.com, and click on the main link and you'll be able to go ahead and download that application in PDF format, fill it out, and then that repeater will be coming to you. Alrighty, so one of the biggest features that was incorporated into the DR2X was that backdoor function. Now, I call it the backdoor function, but really it is the remote function on there. That's really kind of what it is. It's that second receiver to do a whole series of different things. Now, we talked about setting it up for like saying, hey, here's the deal. I want to go ahead and I want to have a remote receive site put in. Yeah, you can do it for that, the B side, and all those other special features. But if you are trying to go ahead and control the repeater, this is where the B side is going to come in significantly into play. All righty. And that's what you need to do. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. The first thing to understand is that the repeater can be controlled in one of two manners. It could be controlled in DTMF, or it could be controlled in using System Fusion telecommands. What we're going to start out with is we're going to start out talking about using it with DTMF. Now, the reason we say using it with DTMF is because there's times that people want the repeater to be somewhat open for non-digital users to control it. That's fine. That's not a problem. You can do that. Fusion telecommand control is going to give you more, security, but there are a few different steps and setups and things that you have to do. What we're going to first talk about is you have to determine digital, using fusion telecommands with the digital radio, mobile radio only either, or DTMF tones. That's going to be your first thing that you need to think of, okay? So once you've decided that, the next thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to set up your repeater correctly. If you are only going to be using the B side for control, you're going to have to change that B side on there to where it says the basically CNTLRX. So it's CNTLRX. Now what that does is that puts the repeater into the B side only being used for control mode on there. Okay, only going to be for receiving control modes. Now you have to go in on the B side, hit the B setup, and now you have to select the frequency you want to use for control. Alrighty. We do not recommend you using the same frequency as the input to your repeater, and here's why. The whole point of having a second frequency, a second backdoor, second port on their receiver, whatever you want, however you want to affirm it, is because if port A, the main receiver, repeater receive frequency, is jammed up, you can't get into it. This is that, once again, that's why I call it a backdoor. Backdoor into the system. So as the normal signal is coming in here, you're going to intercept it, and now you, on the B side, is taking control of that repeater. Yes. Is it probably going to require you to have a second antenna? Yes, it's probably going to. That's why there's an A and a B port for the receiver antenna. But I will tell you this. Having peace of mind, knowing I have a back door into the system is really great. My systems, if they're on VHF, I have a UHF back door on there. If they're on UHF, I have that same UHF on there, but sometimes I won't be able to use the same frequency. In that kind of case, I kind of have a beam with my antennas and stuff, but that's my setup. Everybody's slightly different, so on there. But once you have that setup on there, okay, once you have the B set up for the control receive, you've selected your control receive frequency. Now we're going to go into here, and now what we're going to do is we're going to take and click into the menu system. So you set your frequency on there. Great, that's fine. You're going to see that B-side frequency on there. It's going to come up, and now you're going to hit what we call the mode remote button. When you touch the mode remote button, it's going to pull up a submenu. On that submenu, it's going to have remote, it's going to have command, it's going to have display timer. You do not need to touch remote. Do not touch remote. Unless you're using the D-sub-15 connector on the back, remote should be turned off. You do not have to have remote on in order to use the B-side. The B-side is always active based on how you have it programmed. So now we're going to hit that command button. And then you'll see the word command in the center there. It's got a little arrow to the right. That means if you hit that, you're going to go into another submenu system. Now, when you go into that submenu system, you're going to see the command list menu. The first one off the top line right away, it's going to say control mode. And you have your option of digital, or you have your option of DTMF. If it says digital, push that again, and it's going to change to DTMF. If you put is on DTMF and you want to go to digital, push DTMF, and it's going to go back to digital. Now, just by the way I've described it, understand you can only control it in either DTMF or digital. You have to choose analog or digital. Can't be both. It has to be one or the other. Selecting digital is obviously going to be digital, and selecting DTMF is going to be FM. Now, below that are going to be your numbers that you can change for sending commands. We give default, okay? We give the default numbers on there, okay? So nothing to really to worry about too much or anything like that on there. But we do have defaults on there. Now, the defaults are listed in the manual. Page 27, I think, is of the manual here, that it's going to list. And so, for example, if we activate the repeater, we use DTMF codes Fusion telecommands of 1111. Deactivate locally is 2222. Deactivate all is 2221. Fixed digital, putting the repeater into fixed digital if you're in analog, is 3333. Okay. Auto mode, kicking it back to auto, is 4444. There is no FM-only mode because there's no FM-only mode of the repeater. You want to switch high power. That's code 0050. Mid is 0020. Low is 0005. Okay? And then there are more messages depending on if you have the FES2 board installed or if you have the LAN board installed. Now, while we do have generalized DTMF codes in there and Fusion, the same kind of code for Fusion telecommand, we suggest, as a good operating practice, to not have the same digit repeat again, okay? So, for example, 1111, if you don't let off enough of a space between it, you know, so if you're entering dee, 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 but that gap is too short, the repeater may not hear the gap, or your signal might be weak, and it might say, oh, they're just continually sending the number one. I can disregard that. But if you change it to something like 1234 or 1212 or, you know, 1984, whatever you want to do, guess what? Now you're entering those four separate digits and it's going to go ahead and work. Now, what you can do is when you're in that command manual, once again, you're going to go ahead. So if I want to change, let's say, for an example, I want to go and say that when I go fixed digital, I want to go 0101, okay? I would go to that menu line there where it says fixed digital, tap on that number, and it's going to be 0101. Notice there's always a star in front of the number. You cannot get rid of that. It's always going to be star. So anytime you're sending DTMF codes on to control the repeater, you're going to have to key up and push star and then the four-digit code for what you want the repeater to do. So in this case, if I say I want to go digital, I want to go 0101, then I'd key up and go star 0101, boom. Now, when you sent the code and the repeater has acknowledged it, it will send back a DTMF response based on what it is. So when you activate the repeater, if you activate the repeater, it's going to send a CWID of O for on. When you deactivate the repeater, it's going to send a CWID of S for shutdown, okay? If you go ahead and send a code to put it in fixed digital on FM, it's going to respond back as DD. If you do auto, it's going to AA. All those are in there, okay? H for high power, M for low power, or M for medium power, L for low power, those kind of things. That's all in the manual, okay? Those CWIDs are fixed in the control. You can't change them. If it does not have, so if the functionality, so deactivate all, for an example, that is a digital-only option, so it's not going to appear in DTMF. You have no control over it, so there's not going to be a response because you can't send a DTMF tone to operate that, okay? Now, what you have to do in order to receive the acknowledgement that the tone went through, okay? And the reason I say the acknowledgement that the tone went through is because if you go ahead and don't get the actual DTMF code back, like you sent it, it doesn't do, the DR2X is going to basically respond back and saying, I didn't get that code. I didn't get that process on there. John, you know, hey, resend it again. But how do you hear that? So that's the biggest question a lot of people say is like, how do you know? So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to send it on the B frequency, okay? And when you send it on the B frequency, you're going to have to listen on the A frequency. So what's going to happen, meaning, is that I send a B side, and then I'm listening on the A side, and that is where your acknowledgement is going to come through and saying, oh, yep, the code did go through, okay? The code did go through. Now, once again, this is kind of a weird thing because we get a lot of calls all the time of people saying, John, I sent the commands on the B side, like you said, but I got no response back. Or we'll talk about in digital mode in a moment. We'll talk about it saying, hey, here's the deal. I didn't get any response back on the digital side. How do I know if it's going through? But then they'll say the repeater's operating in the proper manners. So it's like the code did go through, but I didn't hear anything back. That's because, well, going in on B, you're not listening on A. So in that case, what do you have to do? Well, if you have a VHF repeater and a B channel is your UHF, I'm going to have the radio that will go and transmit on UHF, but then receive on A, which would be VHF. So don't get too, because you got to be able to program it as like an odd split in your radio, okay? If you're doing it in the same band, like let's say UHF repeater and UHF link frequency, well, then you're going to have to probably program an odd split on there. So things to think about on there that we have that happen a lot on there. Now, when it comes to the FVS2 board and the LAN board, I guess I wanted to take a moment to kind of stress this too. The FVS2 is only going to work and function in DTMF mode. So if you are using Fusion Telecommand and you want to like record a message, it's going to ignore it. Why? The FVS2 board is only analog. Same thing with the LAN unit. If you have the LAN unit in there, which can record and play back messages for digital, okay, if you're in DTMF control, guess what? It's not going to work. It's going to completely ignore it. So things to keep a track of, or just keep it in the back of your mind how it is. Once again, analog is only going to work on analog stuff. Digital is going to work on digital stuff. Now, before we get into the digital part, I just mentioned the FVS2 and I mentioned the LAN board. Where can you get these boards? That's a big question that comes up a lot. So the FVS2 board is an optional board that can be purchased either directly through Yaesu Parts and Services, or you can go to your favorite authorized Yaesu dealer. That's right, your favorite authorized Yaesu dealer. They're the ones that go ahead and provide and have a direct link to us for selling our radios and our accessories and some of the parts that you need. The FVS2 board can be ordered directly from them and is not just for the repeater, but for other radios also on there. The LAN board, though, that is a special purchase through our Yaesu Parts Department. You can go ahead and contact us directly, either through our website at yaesu.com, or you can go ahead and email us, and that is underneath the Contact Us page. However, make sure if you're buying that FVS2 board, use an authorized Yaesu dealer to know that you're getting genuine authorized Yaesu parts, and guess what? It's going to be the proper Yaesu part that you need to have. Alrighty, so let's get into the digital command side of things. So like we had to do with the analog side or the DTMF side, you have to set up that B channel and you have to set up that A side of feedback on there, okay? But one of the things that you also have to do is you're going to have to register your radio with the repeater. Now I want to stress something. The repeater can only be registered with mobiles, alrighty? With mobiles. So what has to happen in this case is that if you have a digital handheld, you want to try to do it, it's not going to work, okay? C4FM digital controller Fusion Telecommand does require the optional LAN unit board for digital storage and voice playback, okay? So you have to have it in there. Once again, you have to register the DPID of the Fusion Mobile on there. If you don't register it, then guess what happens? The repeater is not going to send commands. It's not going to accept the commands from there. That's why using Fusion Telecommand is a little bit more secure than using DTMF codes, okay? Because if you don't have the DTMF code, then, or excuse me, the DPID code, I said DTMF code, sorry. If you don't have the DPID code registered, the radio is going to, or the repeater is going to completely ignore all those commands as being sent there. This is great if you have people that try to hack your repeater, or sometimes will go ahead and they'll just do button pressing and stuff like that on there. So this is something that you really, really kind of want to go ahead and think about if you want more full control of your repeater. Now, when we're talking about registering the DPID, it's very simple. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to be, unfortunately, in front of your repeater, Okay. And when you're in front of that repeater, what you're going to have to do from that point then is you're going to have to say, okay, wait a minute here. I need to be in front of the repeater. I need to be able to capture the DPID and when that unit is transmitting. If you cannot capture that DPID when that unit's transmitting, then guess what? You're not going to be able to do anything on there. So that's why it's key and vitally important for you to set this up correctly. And when setting it up correctly, you're going to capture those DPIDs. Now, once again, there's more security to it. And that's why when you have the DPID registration, you have to have someone in front of the repeater with that radio transmitting. If you didn't have to go ahead and have someone in front of the radio and capture the DPID, that means anybody, in essence, could go ahead and just enter the DPID in there, which is not really what you want, right? But then what can happen in that case then is that users are, you know, entering there. It's a security purpose is the biggest thing to do. So how do you register the DPID? The DPID is going to be the same similar thing. So you're going to go into either the A or the B side. And then you will see, we'll say ID mode when you're in that menu side, okay? So you're going to go ahead and hit the A or B setup then, touch the F button. Now you'll see it say ID mode. And what you'll do is you'll see we'll switch between DGID and DPID. So if you tap it once, the DGID says DPID. Now if you push and hold the DPID when it says on there, now what you're going to do is it's going to go ahead and allow you to register. It's going to say DPID registration. Now, what you're going to do is on the bottom of that screen there, there's going to be a button that says REG. Push the REG and then have the radio key up. Once the radio keys up, it's going to pop up and it's going to say, oh, DPID registration. It's going to tell you the model of the radio. It's going to say radio ID, and it's going to give the 5-digit DPID of that radio. And then you can click OK or cancel. Clicking OK will register the radio then to the repeater. Once again, if you want to control the repeater, it has to be a mobile radio or the FT991A. It cannot be a handheld, folks. It just can't because of the way that it goes ahead and works for sending commands. So now that you have your DPID registered, now if you need to go back into this section where you can change it, mode, remote, then go into the command section, set up your commands and everything like that on there, okay? Now, one of the things that you have to do is you're going to have to write down your command list. We're not going to be sending it with DTMF this time. We're going to be sending it with Fusion Telecommand. So what Fusion Telecommand in this case is going to be doing is it's going to be is that you have to go ahead and put the radio into Fusion Command mode. What that means is you're going to have to program your radio, transmit on the B frequency, listen on the A frequency again. Remember, like we did with the FM, still got to do with Fusion. But on your microphone, you're going to pick up your microphone. You're going to push and hold the star button key on the microphone. Then what's going to pop up on the display is you're going to say remote space REC slash play or REC slash PLY. That is going to be dependent on how big your screen is and what model you're using, okay? If you want to cancel out a remote mode, because some people will hold it by accident, oh, shoot, I didn't want to do it, just press the star button. Now, what's going to happen is that when you're in that remote REC slash play mode or REC slash PLY mode, you want to send a Fusion Telecommand, simply enter the 4-digit number and then push the pound button. You are not pushing the PTT button at all. Not at all. So, once again, star, push and hold, puts it into that command mode. Oh, let's say I want to change my repeater from full power to low power. Okay. Now what I'm going to go ahead and do is my code is 0020. So now I push and hold the star button. Now it says REC, PLY, or remote REC play. Now I'm going to enter 0020 on my microphone. Boom, hit the pound button. Did not use the PTT button at all. And then it's going to send the Fusion Telecommand. And you'll notice your radio actually switches to DW mode because it's sending the telecommand in digital wide mode. Now what's going to happen then is it's sending it on the B side. Now what's going to happen is after your radio unkeys, you want to listen, you want to have your radio listening to the A side. And then while you're still in remote mode, it's going to go ahead and it's going to acknowledge back, or it's going to go ahead and acknowledge, it's going to say no ACK. So it's going to go dee 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 or dee 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 dee. Okay. That's what's going to happen when you're sending Fusion Telecommand mode. If it gets no ACK and you transmit it on the B side and listen on the A side, it either means, one, the repeater didn't hear the command and send an ACK back, or two, the repeater ignored the command. Now, you also want to check to make sure that you're transmitting on the B side and then listening on the A side. So keep those in the back of your mind on there. Now, some of the functions and controls that are offered in digital, which are not offered in analog, is you can deactivate all. Okay? That's the third one down. Deactivate all means is that if you are connected into an IMRS network and you want to deactivate all the repeaters, that's the code you would use for that. The other ones are going to be recording the voice message into the LAN unit. So you're going to do recording, playback, and erasing using a couple different things. Okay? So on the mobiles, if you want to record a message, you need to first be in the remote receive play mode or REC/PLY mode and record a message. You're going to push the PTT button. And then what's going to happen is you're going to press the PTT button to record it and then release. And then what will happen is you should get a record complete on the display when you're in that mode. If you want to go ahead and play and transmit the message, you're going to push the P2 key. If you want to erase your recorded message you just have, press the P3 key. This is different as compared to using the DTMF codes with the FVS2 board. Okay? So think of this in the back of your mind, because this is where people get confused a lot. When in Fusion Command mode, they're pushing the PTT button. You're not going to do that. The only time you're going to do that is pushing the PTT button when you want to record a voice message. All right? That's the thing. Now, remember, when using the FVS2 board or the IMRS board for voice recording, it's not a continuous recording function, meaning it's designed to transmit a message X amount of times at X intervals and used for design purpose. Now, we talked about that on the other one. So, like, you know, we have a club meeting tonight at 7 p.m., that kind of thing like that on there. It's not designed to have, you know, every 10 minutes or everything like that. This is the N9 UPC repeater, you know, blah, 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 blah. No, it doesn't do that at all. So that kind of wraps up this episode of the podcast about controlling the DR2X with DTMF or controlling the DR2X with Fusion Telecommand. It also wraps up our mini series on talking on the DR2X. And I'm going to tell you this, man. I don't know what anybody else thinks on there, but for the money, for the price, for the warranty, for the commitment to Yaesu, I really know of no other repeater that has this much functionality in it that doesn't require you to buy software, doesn't require you to buy programming cables, doesn't have limitations such as power output, doesn't have things that require you to use the internet, doesn't have, whatever kind of thing on there. And the best part is, our repeaters are still in production. So the program gets very popular. So sometimes there might be a little bit of a back order, depending. But 9 times out of 10, there's usually not. And I know many, many people around, even just, you know, in certain parts of the United States. So in the United States in general, or in the Midwest, or East Coast, West Coast, or stuff like that, many people are using these repeaters. And the best part is you can use them in analog, you can use them in digital, you can use them in both modes, you can use them in a facility, you can use them in a portable situation, that kind of thing like that. It really is versatile, and that's what the repeaters were designed for. It was designed to be more versatile for the amateur community, which we need to be sometimes, as compared to just saying, oh, okay, it's just going to be a repeater that sits at the place. So until then, everybody, I want to say thank you for tuning in to the Yaesu, the radio show podcast. If you ever do have any questions or thoughts or comments or anything like that, please feel free to contact us via the contact us page at yaezu.com. We do like to take, if you have more questions about the series that we did, questions about past episodes, or even ideas for up and coming episodes, please feel free to drop us a line. We do get a lot of feedback, and we do go ahead and read all of the comments and the ideas for shows, and we try to fit them in the best that we can then. So until then, everybody, stay safe, 73, and we'll catch you on down the log.